emphasis on short. I am going to give you a short talk on exercise. Not the cardiovascular kind of exercise. I'm going to talk about strength training. But it's not the kind of strength training with weights. I want to talk about willpower, that kind of strength. What is your definition of willpower? Oh, drive? Self-control? Yes, ability to follow through. All of those are excellent definitions. It's what says, I know you feel tired, but you're going to get on those exercise shoes and you're going to go for a walk. It's what says, I know that dessert looks really good, but you're on a diet, so you're not going to have any, right? It's what says, I know you feel like blowing your top right now because you feel so angry, but you're not. You're going to speak calmly. It's what says that Dairy Queen looks really tempting, but it keeps you from turning in, right? It's willpower. And we've had this attitude that some people have it and some don't. Have you ever met people that kind of look at willpower that way? I just don't have a strong willpower. And other people maybe think, well, willpower is a learnable skill. You can learn to have willpower. I'd like to suggest that willpower is somewhat of a muscle that becomes stronger with exercise and becomes weaker when it's not used as much. There was an interesting experiment that was done at Case Western Reserve University. And the researchers were kind of questioning this idea whether willpower was a skill or not, because they said, well, a skill is something that you don't forget how to do. If it's a skill, you can do it today and tomorrow and the next day. But willpower is kind of sometimes, I've got really strong willpower today, but tomorrow I'm going to have two hot fudge sundaes at Dairy Queen to make up for the fact that I didn't get one yesterday, right? So sometimes, you know, willpower can be fluctuating. So these researchers asked 67 students at this university if they would be volunteers, and they, one by one, placed them in a room. And it looked like they were in a room all by themselves, but there was a two-way mirror, so their researchers were looking at them the whole time. And they sat at this table, and they had two bowls in front of them, and one had freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. And the room just smelled, you know, amazing. And then there was another bowl, and that was full of radishes. Which one would you prefer? And they told the students one by one, so they kind of divide them in half, but each, you know, they told one student, they said, you may eat all the radishes you want, but you can't have any of the chocolate chip cookies. And then to the other half, as they went in one by one, you can eat all the chocolate chip cookies you want, but don't eat any of the radishes. And the students were told that what was being tested was taste perception. And so they watched the students go in there, and the students who had to eat the, got to eat the radishes, but they couldn't touch the chocolate chip cookies, they'd watch them, you know, in the agony and trying to chomp on the radishes, and a couple of them succumbed, and they quickly tried to eat a couple of chocolate chip cookies and, you know, wipe away the chocolate stains before the researchers came back in. So they watched the students grappling with this and reminded them, you know, they could only eat the food that was assigned to them. And it was very interesting what they observed. Of course, the cookie eaters were in heaven, and the radish eaters were in agony, forcing themselves to eat radishes. They were in the room for 5 minutes, and after that, they would put them in another room, and they were told, we need to wait about 15 minutes for the sensory memory of the food you ate to fade. That's what the participants were told. So in order to pass the time, they gave them a little puzzle to do. This will just help you pass the time. And it was one of those puzzles where you had to draw the geometric shape, but your pencil couldn't leave the paper, and you had to somehow try to do the whole geometric shape. What they didn't know was that it was an absolutely impossible task. It was impossible to do, but this is what they were asked to do. And so they watched, the researchers were watching, and they thought, the people who have used up so much willpower in not eating the chocolate chip cookies, what's going to happen to them? How are they going to respond to this kind of task, you know, request even more on their willpower? So from behind the two-way mirror, the researchers watched the cookie eaters with their unused reservoirs of self-discipline started working on the puzzle. In general, they looked relaxed. One of them tried a straightforward approach, hit a roadblock, and then started again and again and again. Some worked for over half an hour before the researchers told them to stop. On average, the cookie eater spent almost 19 minutes apiece trying to solve the puzzle before they rang the bell. They could ring the bell at any time they wanted to stop the puzzle. The radish eaters, with their depleted willpower, acted completely different. They muttered and grumbled and were impatient. They got frustrated. One complained that the whole experiment was a waste of time. Some put their head on the table and closed their eyes. One snapped at the researcher as they came in. And on average, the radish eaters worked at the puzzle 8 minutes long, 60% less than the others. When the researcher asked afterward how they felt, one of the radish eaters said he was sick of this dumb experiment. By making people use a little bit of their willpower to ignore cookies, we had put them, the researchers say, into a state where they were willing to quit much faster. There's been more than 200 studies on this idea since then, and they've all found the same thing, that willpower isn't just a skill. It's a muscle, like the muscles in your arms or legs, and it gets tired as it works harder, so there's less power left over for other things. So why am I sharing with you this experiment? My goal isn't to say that, you know, cookie eaters are happier necessarily. I don't know, maybe they are, but you know, that's if you want to do something difficult, make sure you have a bowl of hot made chocolate chip cookies at your disposal. Nor is it saying that radish eaters are grumpy and irritable and short-tempered. The point is that willpower, like a muscle, does need times of rest if it's going to be able to be truly strong for you. So don't place yourself continually in the path of temptation, right? We need to live somewhere between the mountaintop with Jesus in the valley where there's temptation. And if we place ourselves continually in the path of temptation, sooner or later we can wear out in spite of our best resolve. I thought that was an interesting thing. Willpower is also a muscle that can be strengthened with use and become stronger as we exercise it. I think that's another important thing for us to understand, because we do need strong willpower, and that it actually becomes easier. Just like when you work out with your weights, that weight that maybe before you worked out was so difficult to lift, now it's much easier to lift because you've strengthened it. In the Spirit of Prophecy, in 3 Bible Commentary, it says that with firm determination comes increased willpower. And in the context, Ellen White was speaking to someone who they were encouraging them to learn how to praise, that if they would be determined in praising him, that they would soon find out that they didn't need any more help in praising him. In other words, it would become easier with repetition. It would become a habit and therefore become stronger. This is another really interesting statement. And it's talking about benevolence, doing good to the poor and helping the needy. We cannot cultivate benevolence by praying for benevolence or by talking about benevolence. In order to cultivate benevolence, one must go to work. He must be benevolent. Even if you don't enjoy it very well at first, keep practicing it, and by you will come to enjoy it better. You will thus cultivate benevolence, and in this way, you may, by God's help, become benevolent. It's kind of interesting how faith and works, right? It's hard for us sometimes to try to walk that tightrope, but they are united. They do go together. I like the Bible verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so this talk is to encouraging, emphasizing the term, work out. Amen.